Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
For tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me this evening my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing this evening?
I am blessed. Thank you very much.
Happy belated Mother's Day. Hope everything went well for you.
Yes, it did. It was wonderful. And 30-year anniversary.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Happy,
yep.
Happy 30th.
Yep.
Is Dr. G on the line with us?
We're here.
How you doing, Dr. G?
Doing pretty good.
Good, good. Glad to have you back on the line. We are going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sheila G. and Dr. G., tonight we are again in the book of Matthew, and in the 26th chapter we were looking at Jesus as he was being arrested, and how that he did not respond violently to his arresters, even though there was no reason, a lawful reason for him to be arrested, but that he set an example for all of us doing the will of the Father and behaving in a godly manner. That exposes the wrongdoing of those who would try to do us wrong. And on last week, we talked about the challenge of continuing to do us right in the midst of folks trying to take you for bad, and how by continuing to do us right, it would shed light on the truth. And we were talking about how Dr. King and those civil rights leaders back in the 60s did this type of thing in how the advent of social media in today's environment shows people that are remaining calm, remaining focused, shedding the light on people who are behaving in a manner that's ungodly. And it's easy to get caught up in that trap of acting out, fighting up, fighting back, and so that people can say, "See, I told you." But when we study this, we see that Jesus, he went before the courts and he was just cool and calm. And one of the things that when we study this, we'll see that, you know, in all of the things leading up to the election of 2016, Everybody's talking about fake news and fake this and fake this. But Jesus experienced the fake, you know, fake news way back when. And so we'll look at that tonight, that even when people are bringing fake news out, you still can stand for the truth, and that ultimately the truth will overcome. And that's what I tell people. You can fake news, you can lie, you can scheme, you can try to fix it up, but in the end, the truth is the truth. And the Bible says that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And this is what people are looking for. They're looking for to be physically free, spiritually free, mentally free. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so once we understand who the truth is, what truth is, then what happens is it will shine brightly in the midst of the fake news, against the fake accusations, and it will make people free. But you have to know the truth, and that's what comes from studying the Word of God. And Jesus had a relationship with his Father, and he understood that carrying out these actions according to the Word of God would ultimately shine the truth on all of the Roman false accusations, the Jews' false accusations, and ultimately people will realize that truly this was the Son of God. And so we'll see that. So I want to go back in Matthew 26, and we want to look down at verse, I believe we want to look at verse 50. Now I want to go down to verse 52, but he says, "Put your spores back in its place." And when Jesus is telling people to put their spores back in its place, that's opposite of what the reaction of someone that's betraying you will do.
Right.
You would think that they would be ready to go to war, go to battle, but he said, "No, put your swords back in your place." And in verse 52, he said, Jesus said, "Put it again, your sword in its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." So in other words, handling things with physical violence, you're going to get physical violence back. And that was the thing, the challenge that we were talking about last week, Sheila G, is if you do it a certain way physically, you're going to get that physical response back. And that won't accomplish the will of God. And so Jesus lets us know in verse 53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" In other words, God is greater than any physical response that we can have. And it's hard for us to get to that point, but as we mature, we understand that the more I physically fight back, the more they can make a case against me. But if I handle it according to the Word of God, the will of God, then my case gets strengthened that I am in the right. Sheila G.
Right, and that's exactly what we were talking about last week, how, you know, our nature is to lash out, to respond and defend. But if we do it God's way, it's more effective, because people are expecting you to lash out, be angry and defend. But when you're calm and cool and collective and you show that confidence, that throws the enemy off. And that's basically how you get the victory.
Amen. Dr. G, it seems as if that's one of the things that the enemy tries to do, is he tries to put us in a physical situation where we end up doing our self-harm by responding in a physical way instead of in a spiritual way. And that's why it's so important for us to remain to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And as I get older, Dr. G, I begin to start understanding that more. When I was younger, you know, I'm ready to fight at the drop of a hat. But now I understand that that's just going to get me into trouble. Oh, he's hot-headed. He can't keep his cool. He this, he that. And, you know, end up in a bad or worse off situation than I was. But I understand better now how to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh will keep me more in line with the word of God, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And because the enemy is definitely going to try to get a rise out of us because he knows
mm-hmm.
that we're creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But as we grow in the body of Christ, and that's one thing we try to, you know, get folks to understand, is that if you turn all that violence, turn it all over to the Lord, you may not like what comes your way, but ultimately it's better to give it over to the Lord. Now, it may hurt our feelings not to react, but
mm-hmm.
in the long run, it's better just to button it up and go on and let the Lord deal with it. And Christ shows us that in the scripture.
Amen. And it's a thing that he knows that his Father can take these folks out at any time. And I think that's one of the things that we have to have that confidence in that verse
right.
53. And I'm going to read verse 53 in the NIV. Where he says, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? In other words, if it's necessary, God can wipe these folks out just like that. But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts.
That's right.
We have to understand that he has a greater plan for our lives. And it's not just real quick, you know, beat them up, beat them down, and knock them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that violence begets violence. And you're going to do it that way, then that's going to happen to you. And then you'll end up what's going on in the Middle East and in war-torn nations all over the place. I look at the country Syria
mm-hmm.
and how just war-torn it is. There's nothing left of the country.
Right.
People by the millions have fled. You got Americans involved, you got Russians involved, you got Turkish people involved, you got Iranians involved,
yep.
You got the Jews involved, and it's just a nasty civil war where thousands and thousands of innocent people and lives are destroyed
right.
because people won't seek the truth and that God, all men are made in the image of God. And then
right.
we should be able to find some way to be able to live on some piece of dirt in the country to be able to survive and live peacefully. But because people love power and love greed and love sin, anyone that's different from them or looks different from them or old feuds, it turns into war, and it's just not of God. And you know, When you look at that, you say, how for years and years and years and generations, it's just war-torn. I look at the Civil War in the United States, you know, the North versus the South. And just
yep.
It was just a bloody, bloody mess
yep.
because people didn't realize that, you know, people are human. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he followed the teachings of God. And you should be able to get along with people, even though they're different color skin. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what happens. We get caught up in emotionally what we feel and what we see instead of walking by the Spirit. Because if you walk by the Spirit, you see with your spiritual eye. And if you see with your spiritual eye, you don't see color. You don't see the difference. You realize that you're all in the image of God, and that's what matters most. And so the enemy uses that, those senses, to cause us to do evil for evil. And the Bible says, don't do evil for evil. And he tells you to love your neighbor like you love yourself. So even if you just
mm-hmm.
follow that principle, you would forgo all of the animosity, all the racism, all of it, just following that basic command from God to love your brothers like you love yourself, then there would be peace among us. But the enemy, because he doesn't want to have that, because that's so powerful, love is a very powerful action word. And so the enemy uses our emotions to cause us to react negatively based off what we see, what we feel, what we hear. And then we end up with civil wars, not just within countries, but within families, within friends, within coworkers, everything.
And we were talking about this last week. We were talking about fear. It's basically fear of something different than what you know or what you used to. And if you're afraid of it, then you lash out at it. And you know, it's Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. And you know, it's crazy. And if we look down at verse, let's go down to verse 54 and 55. And I'm gonna read from the NIV. It says, "But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that said it must happen in this way?" So Jesus understood what his calling was, what his purpose was, and he always relied on following what the word of God said, what the scripture said. The scriptures had to be fulfilled. And I think if more people got into the word of God, Dr. G, I think if more people got the word of God in them, and more people followed the word of God. I know there was a time when we were younger where people knew the Ten Commandments and people tried to, you know, keep that in their heart and try to live up. If you couldn't live up to actual living it, but the spirit of it, to try to treat people decently, no matter where they are, based upon what God said in his commandments or in the word, I think that our decisions from the most, you know, socioeconomic race or whatever, people would have a better relationship with each other if we follow the scriptures, Dr. G.
No, I agree with you. If we would, you know, that there could be such a big difference in our society and in our world. But, you know, as we've already talked about it, because that's just not the way the enemy wants it. So God has to allow things to play out with those of us that do believe, trying to help others to come along and understand and grasp. But, you know, I was talking with someone today, I believe, about, you know, the our world that we live in now. And if you think about it, it's getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can go back to the days of the Israelites. Now, as long as the Israelites did things God's way, he knew where he wanted them to go. And he told them, would give them a plan how to defeat their enemies, and as long as they obeyed the plan to the letter, they were victorious. But when they got to the point where they got of themselves and start smelling themselves and disobeying and, you know, what he said, then that's when things started turning. And when you read the story of how the Israelites went from point one to point taken into captivity, you know, all of that history in the midst of it, then you begin to understand that, you know, if we would follow God's plan, if we knew God, part of the problem is that enough of us just really don't know who God is. And, you know, we put on the front, you know, we paint the picture, but we really don't know who the Lord is. So we go back to what we do know. We know how to fuss. And we
fuss and fight.
Amen.
That's so true. That is so true. And I was talking to my wife on yesterday. We were talking about our grandson, Noah. And the crazy situation she has at her school where the kids are just off the chain. I don't know how teachers teach nowadays. One of the kids was hitting her with a book bag, bruised her hand, messed her fingers up and everything. So she had to go to the hospital, and the kids are right back in the school. They don't suspend them, and they're running up and down the hallway off the chain like the inmates are running the asylum. And the teachers are there, trying to help these kids be successful and to help them to be able to have a decent life in this world, and the very people that are trying to help you to be successful, to teach you, to train you so you can take care of yourself or your family, are the ones that you're beating up and trying to hurt.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus was trying to come and to help them, you know, realize what had been promised to them in the scriptures from all the prophets. And they wanted to kill him because he was telling them that they had to get their act together, you know, in order to receive these, you know, blessings, these promises of God. And, you know, they just like, who is this carpenter's boy trying to tell us religious, pious leaders what to do? And, you know, the Romans, they wanted to keep them in bondage and say, as long as y'all act right, we're not going to kill you. As long as you serve us, we're not going to kill you. So you had the political, you had the religious, you had all kinds of things. Just like today, people have different motives. But nobody wants to listen to God. Nobody
right.
wants to do what the word says and treat each other accordingly.
Right.
But if you look down at their verse 55, Jesus, he basically tells them, what gives? I'm coming to help you. I'm coming to treat you right. But, you know, I'm telling you, you need to change your ways. And because I'm saying that, now you got an issue with me. But if you look at verse 55, it says, and I'm going to read the NIV, it says, in that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion? He said, why are you off the chain? In other words, why are you calling the popo on me? he said that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me. He said, every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. So he's like, you know, what happened? You know, last or Sunday you were saying, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna, you know, what was going on? You know, you were putting palms in front of me and you know, I was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and people were getting healed, and now all of a sudden, you know, you guys are ready to take me out. It reminds me of, if I can put it in today's vernacular, some of the athletes, or one of the athletes of the Seattle Seahawks, a big black guy, I forget his name, but, you know, on Sunday morning, everybody's woo-hoo, cheering and rooting for him, but he walks in the street without his uniform on, they're scared of him, and they, you know, arrest him. And it's like, well, wait a minute. On Sunday morning, you were cheering me, and I was the greatest thing. You're wearing my number, and you know my name and all my stats. And, you know, I'm walking down the street now, and you're scared of me, and you want me to get arrested. It's like, you know, I'm being falsely accused, even though I'm bringing you pleasure on Sunday, and I'm the greatest thing, you know. But now, you turning against me, and it seems a lot of times that you know, people again are fearful because they choose not to act in a godly way and really find out what's going on in the situation. Sheila G.
Amen. And you know, you that was a great analogy, but you also see that in the church too, particularly. When the pastor has to tell the congregation something that they personally may not agree with, but it's a vision from the Lord. And, you know, as long as the pastor's a figurehead, everybody loves him. But they say, what thus saith the Lord, you know, spiritual discipline or spiritual, this is a vision that God has given me.
Right, right.
Backed you up, said yay on every single vote. The second God has led the pastor, who's the leader of the church, who is the shepherd, to put a change in place or to go in a different direction, then those same very people who, like 2 weeks ago, said, let's stand up and pastor got it going on, he's doing his thing, but then it's like they flip the script, like, whoa, wait a minute, now you invade my personal space. So now I can't get with that. can't get with that because that's going to impact my money. That's
right.
Going to impact the way I live.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to impact my schedule. So, and then next thing you know, you got everybody on the phone calling and wanting to schedule
right.
a call. You know, and I've seen that in churches and various churches and, you know, some things
mm-hmm.
that, talking to other pastors' wives, that that's a constant thing in a church, which is why you have to be constantly prayed up, which is why, as you and Pastor Gia said, as a pastor, you cannot react to that. You can't get upset.
Right.
You can't flick off, because then it's like, you know, Pastor and I were just talking about this years ago where somebody said, well, it seems like when you don't get your way, you and you know, you start acting funny. And it's like, what? You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I understand what the Lord is saying. And there's a time where stuff like that could hurt your feelings. But as long as you're
right.
doing it God's way, the way to handle it as leadership in the church is to continue to say, I understand. I'm going to hear you out. I'm just going to say what thus says the Lord.
Right.
But I'm still
right.
going to love you. I'm still going to speak to you. I'm still going to keep a smile on my face and let
mm-hmm.
God. You know, too often pastors get in their feelings, and then next thing you know, the church is split. Because this
mm-hmm.
person fights, then everybody feels like they got to get on somebody's side. But as a, in a position of leadership, if you continue to stay God's way, he'll keep those there that need to be there, and those that can't get with God's program, God will remove them. So you don't have to get in your feelings or say anything about it. But that truly is one of the challenges of being a leader, a shepherd of a church.
Amen. And what I was saying about my grandson, Noah, is that you don't have to teach people how to misbehave.
No,
you know,
right.
I think that's one of the challenges of being a leader is, you know, folk already know how to act up.
Yeah.
They come here knowing how to act up. And Jesus came to tell them that's not godly and that
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't be acting up. And
right.
this is the better way. And
mm-hmm.
so, again, we were talking about it last week. The behavior is learned, you know.
Right.
You can teach people that this is what the scripture said and how we should act regardless of how you feel about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I'm in position of leader, I'm telling you, position of leadership, I'm telling you what thus said the Lord. There
right.
should be some type of God in you that says that I might not like it, but this is what the word says, and so I should be obedient to what the
exactly.
word says and not act, you know, ignorant. And there's sometimes people just act ignorant because,
uh-huh.
you know, they can, of course they want to, even though they know what the word says.
Right.
And, you know, those are the challenges that you have because the Pharisees and the scribes of those days, they were supposed to be the ones that were up on the word. They knew
mm-hmm.
the word, but they,
mm-hmm.
they wanted to act ignorant because they felt challenged by Jesus
yeah.
to tell them that, you know, you say with your lips one thing, but your heart is saying something
right.
else.
Right.
And, you know, it's embarrassing to them, and now they're ready to fight. They wanted to take him out because he's telling the truth. And there's that old saying, the truth hurts sometimes.
And even in all of this, he's still calm about it, you know, kind of like what we were talking about last week. You know, even in him saying, why you treat me like this, he wasn't, like, nasty about it. He was logical. Like, okay, now
right.
all I've done is sat up here and told y'all the truth and tried to encourage you. So you tell me why you're acting ignorant. You know, and so he was still calm
right.
and peaceful. That's how we have to be when people come up against us. So we can't just flick off. We can't just fly off. We can't just have our mouths poked out. But, you know, we have to communicate. So he's communicating, but he's saying, but nonetheless, this is how the scripture has to be fulfilled. And he continues to point to those scriptures to remind them,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this just because I feel like saying it. I'm saying this because
mm-hmm.
if you the Pharisees, if you read the scriptures, this is what's coming.
Exactly. Exactly. And at the end of that verse 55, it gets to a point where you stand on the word and nobody else is standing on the word. And as leaders, sometimes you have to stand by yourself on the word because
that's right.
people will for whatever reason. Let's look at verse 55. He says, in that same hour, said Jesus, I'm back on the NIV. Let me go to verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all disciples forsook him and fled. Now that's one of the challenges is of a leader is when you stand on the word of God and the word of God starts pointing people out and exposing people, folks are going to run away. And they're going to have all kind of excuses why they can't stay around no longer. And you start lying about people treating them bad, and it's this and it's that. And it all directs at the leader, that the leader is not, you know, treating people right, but all the leader is doing is standing on the word of God. And and here Jesus is standing on the word of God that it will be fulfilled. And when you stand on the word of God, it will be fulfilled. This is an eye opener to everyone in the position of leadership. Everybody's not going to stay there. And then in Jesus' case, he said, then all the disciples.
All of them.
All of them.
I mean, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Dr. G, I'm going to let you comment on that.
I forget that, you know, and what I call, I say, you got two classes of folks. You got the blind leading the blind. And those that supposedly are leading the blind know the word, but again, they know of the word or some of the word, but then don't
right.
know how to apply the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we forget that the whole manner of Jesus's his calmness, everything about him, I mean, that's why he had to go spend time with his Father in prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
not only did he know that he going to the cross, but he got to deal with all this ignorance leading up to the cross.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
you're not, if you haven't spent time with the Lord and you and the Lord are on one, and you, if you're not prayed up, folk will
right.
take you yourself, and you'll be right on their level. And this is one thing that as leaders, again, you know, we have to stay in prayer, pray, Lord, keep my tongue, because I know Gregory, and I thank God
yeah.
that I've grown up enough now that, you know, I've taken my lumps and my bruises, and I mean, I can tell the story, I can tell other folk about it, especially these, you know, these young preachers that think it's all about the power, the praise, and the position. You take some hard knocks as a leader, as a preacher. Because they may be
yeah.
with you 1 minute, but then the next minute, they're gone.
Yeah.
You'll be looking around, you know, they'll be sending you emails. Well, I'm going to take a leave of that. All kinds of stupid junk that don't make sense. And they catch you off guard, and you have to continue to preach and teach. Be calm about it, knowing that God has a plan.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
whether or not the Lord has revealed this plan, you still got to stand strong.
That's right. Amen.
Right. Amen. It is so true. But, you know, when you look around, I mean, here's Jesus. He done preached, he done teach, he done taught, he done healed, he done gave a word. I mean, he's done all of these things. Helped his disciples, helped the Jews. I mean, he poured out in ministry. And at the end of that verse 56, then all the disciples deserted him. In verse 56, in the King James, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So it's like everybody is gone. And so there you are, standing on the word of God, and everybody then took flight. So, you know, it's a thing to understand. If you pick up your cross and follow Jesus, there's going to be some days, amen, where you're going to be following, feel like, by yourself. But, you know, I'm laughing. Because, you know, I'm looking back over the years of ministry where I've seen so many people just flee, you know, because of the pressure of the word, or because, you know, the preacher has preached what thus said the Lord and they got an attitude, or he said what thus said the Lord, or she said what thus said the Lord, and people got an attitude and they just don't want to do right. And when the woman of God or the man of God tells them that they're not doing right, you know, they tutelable and act ignorant. And, you know, when you stand up there and everybody that was with you, now all of a sudden they got 101 reasons why they no longer want to stand on the word of God, and they're fled. All the disciples. Look at that, Sheila G. Said that all the disciples.
All of them.
Sheila G.
And the thing that's interesting is because he would not allow them, you know, it's like they had a plan. They had what they wanted to do. Now, in the beginning, back in 50 verses 51
oh, yeah,
or 52, they were ready to fight with the sword.
Oh, yeah.
So that's yeah,
yeah.
Like, oh,
we'll never desert
you. Our Lord Jesus, I think he should bring down the angels. I think he should let us do our fort because they saw the miracles that he worked. So they thought they were all big and bad and felt powerful because they knew that he had the power. But when he's like, no, don't do the sword. Yeah, I could if I want. But I'm not going to do that. And they were like, well, shoot, you're not going to protect yourself. That means you're not going to protect us. Forget what the scripture said. I'm out. You know? And it's the same thing. It's like one minute they're ready to fight. But when Jesus says, no, I'm not doing it that way, then they just deserted it.
And it comes down. Right. And it comes down to when the spiritual warfare really starts coming in, and that's what I tell people in ministry. You know, you have spiritual warfare that comes up at various times in various people's life, and it's a spirit. There's a spirit that will come in and influence people, whether it's a spirit of whoremonger, whether it's a spirit of lying, whether it's a spirit of jealousy or envy or whatever. And these spirits will come against leaderships and the spirit of fear. And and what it does is it comes and attacks the church. And so when the leader stands up and says, this is what the attack is, this is how we had to fight. And then when it looks like that the enemy is advancing or has arrested or it doesn't look like things are going in the right direction, what happens is people get fearful and then they flee. Instead of standing on the promises of God, locking arms in the spirit and watching the salvation of God, they lead. So when everything is smooth and easy, and Jesus is performing miracles and he's not arrested and it doesn't seem like there's anything standing in his way, everybody likes a winner. Everybody likes the perennial championship team, you know. But when your team starts going through difficult times and you're down and you're going through some tough times, and everybody wants to jump ship and go, you know, go somewhere else where things are so smooth, so they think, instead of understanding that it's going to happen, that those spirits happen in every ministry. And you have to understand that you have to stand on the word of God. You have to stand and you have to fight. And you have to look beyond what your eyes can see and understand that, you know, whatever God has for you is for you. But that doesn't negate the fact that the enemy is going to try to come against it. And so that's one of the difficult things that I think in ministry is people get scared when it gets a little rough, when it gets a little tough, when things look like it's not going to work out well, that they abandon ship, Dr. G.
Well, you know, too, with that, too, I was sitting here thinking. Now, when in the beginning when Jesus was calling them and they all had their minds on positions, within this new kingdom, that they were thinking of a physical kingdom because they were thinking that Jesus was going to come, raise an army, get rid of the Romans, and all of them were going to have special positions. But then here now, when Jesus is getting ready to get arrested and he's telling them, no, put your swords away, you know, that's not what they wanted to hear.
It
dawned on them then, this ain't what's going to happen.
Yeah, so, it's a little rough now.
It's not going to be what we thought. So we get ready to go. And that's the way people are. You know, they jump on the bandwagon when it's going good, when things are on a high. Everybody wants to be a part.
Right.
But then when the hard times come,
all right, man.
See ya. When the real work starts. Well, you know, I got something else to do.
Right.
You know, it all becomes a part of what they want to do.
Right.
Not about what the Lord wants. It's all about what they want. And God has his way of showing things to you. And here the leaders with just the faithful few are the ones that have to continue to carry that load.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's again, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nope.
Truly, when you look around, you're like, well, where everybody that was so gung-ho about the Lord? You know, it's just like, you know. You look around and you're like, oh, I wonder when it got tough, amen. Where the tough supposed to stick together and get to going? And these things got to going and they can't tough it out. So that's encouraging to position people in leadership. You know, everybody took Jesus.
Everybody.
Everybody. So if you got one or two still with you, be grateful.
Be thankful.
You doing good.
Have one or two. Yeah, nobody.
That is too funny. But and sometimes it's like that with in ministry, individuals in ministry, you know, on your job or whether you're doing, you know, you're trying to encourage people and get people to do the right thing and you know, they just go off on the deep end, go off on tangents and you can't get them to see, you know, what they're doing is not of God. And like you said, when everybody loves a winner, when things are going good, everybody's, oh, God is this, God is that. When, you know, things get tough, I think people are you know, quick to forget about God, that he's still good. So, it's a challenge, but I tell people it's a spirit. These spirits come, and they come against, you know, God's people and God's plan. And we should be mature enough to understand that all of those things are going to work out together for the good of those that love God and that are called according to his purpose. You know, there's no weapon formed against you shall prosper, but that doesn't negate the fact that they're going to form it and use it. So, When these spirits come in and form these weapons and use these weapons in spiritual warfare, people have to be mature enough to understand that, you know, it hasn't changed God's plan, promise.
Right.
It hasn't changed God's plan. It doesn't change the scripture. And we have to learn to be like Jesus and say, okay, we're going to go through this so that the scriptures can be fulfilled. Sheila D, comment on that before we go to the phone line.
Amen. It's that the last thing you said, which is the most important, you know, when we first started talking about this and we were talking about how all his disciples left him and we were saying how that sometimes you feel like you're alone, I thought back to that whole poem about footsteps in the sand.
Yes, Lord.
Where sometimes you feel like, you know, there were two sets and then all of a sudden there was just one set and it's like, Lord, why you leave me? But that's the time when he carried.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to do when you go through those moments, like you said, whether it's in your house, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your children, whether it's in leadership of the church, whether it's on your job, and you feel like all hell is breaking loose, and you feel like, you know, you when you would do good, evil is always present, and you feel like nobody is in the corner, that's when you have to lean on Jesus and know that he's there and he's carrying you. And as we started talking about that, I immediately thought about that poem, Footsteps in the Sand. And if we are obedient, if we do know the Lord, we can stand even if we have to stand alone because we know we'll never stand alone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And with that, we're going to go to the phone lines and we're going to ask that question. When did you realize that nobody else was with you, that God was with you? I'm going to ask that question again. Have you come to the realization, or when did you realize that if nobody else was with you, God will always be with you? Or do you recognize that God is always with you, even in the midst of difficult situations and circumstances? Someone has a testimony on that. So we're going to go to the phone line. First caller, we're going to go to the last four digits, 1-4-1-1-1-4-1-1. You are on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Very powerful message. Very powerful question. Be honest. I'm doing better at it, but I'm not going to lie. You know, at this point in my journey, there are times I'm human. You know, I'm of the flesh, and I know that there's always an internal struggle, battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. And, you know, depending on what I'm going through, when I'm going through it, times that I do feel that I'm alone. But I know what I need to do when I feel like that. You know, I know that I need to go to the Word of God. I know that there are certain people who I look at as spiritual advisors that I need to go to and call on, because I don't want to stay in that place too long, because a lot of times mm-hmm. when we beat ourselves up, when we're kind of going through it, we're constantly digging ourselves deeper into that hole,
right.
and we never can find our way out. So once I start to feel that way, I instantly go to my, you know, break glass when emergency, because I don't want to stay in that place. But on the other side of it, you know, one of the things I have noticed is that, you know, when things are going well, or if I'm going through some things where I realize that, you know, it's some storm clouds coming, some rain in the forecast, but I still know that God is with me. I've consistently continued to maintain that mindset, even though I can't see beyond the storm, even though I can't tell when the rain is going to stop, I still believe in my mm-hmm. heart and act as if God is still with me. And that's the behavior that I've tried to consistently show and consistently, you know, do, because it's easy to say, you know, God is with you when, you know, everything's right, you're playing the numbers, everything's
right.
good, everything's perfect, everything's like, oh, God, you know, you're with me. But then the second something doesn't go our way, God's forsaken us. He's abandoned us. He's left me. You know, why? What did I do? But, you know, he never leaves you. But, you know, as we say sometimes that, you know, in order for you to be the Christian, you have to continue to grow. And sometimes God allows us to go through things because that's how we
mm-hmm.
grow. That's how we get better. And I've learned, and it's kind of the consistent theme that I think we always get to, it's part of the process. You know,
Amen.
Difficult times are going to come, but you have to realize Jesus endured difficult times. If you read through the Bible, all these, you know,
yes.
you know, prophets, all these the disciples, all these people in the Bible, have all these
mm-hmm.
stories, nobody ever led a perfect, it was about me life.
That's
nobody
true.
Ever had a story where they didn't, you know, start out one way. And then, of course, they ended up finding themselves and coming through on the other side and being a better version of themselves when the story first started. But they all had their moments where any one of them
mm-hmm.
would have said, God has abandoned me, God has forsaken me. But they showed through the perseverance, through power of the prayer, through all the different things that they did, and the people that were in their corner, they realized that God never left them or forsake them. And, you know, I realized
Amen.
That as I get closer to God, I don't need that many friends. I used to always think that, you know, I needed a lot of people, need a lot of friends. But
mm-hmm.
when you start realizing that, you know, my friendships were one-dimensional. It was like we only had one thing in common. We only had two things in common, and I started realizing, like,
uh-huh.
not to, you know, to boast, but it's like, you know, after a while, I started out growing my friends because I realized they became stagnant, and I was still growing. I was still, you know, looking for things, and, you know, I learned a philosophy a long time ago that, you know, if you look at your friends now, you're pretty much, you know, basically looking at, you know, whatever your friends are doing now, what you're doing now, that's pretty much what they're going to be doing 5-10 years from now. If you realize
mm-hmm.
that a
mm-hmm.
lot of your friends are still telling the same old story, still doing a lot of things. So as I
yeah.
got closer to Christ, I realized, like, you know what, I got to start cutting some people back. And even more, I realized, like, wow, you know, I can utilize that time, spend either with myself, get to know myself, or to embody myself in the Word of God and to look into
mm-hmm.
that. But, you know, as you develop a stronger relationship with Christ, as you grow in Christ, you realize that through trials and tribulation, Christ is still with you. But it is a process. You have to go through it. But if you're weak, you know, if you're, you know, can let people easily sway you, if you succumb to the demons that speak to you, because the devil's
mm-hmm.
going to be in your ear. I know Pastor said it one Sunday. He can't make you do anything, but he'll be in your ear. You know, he's going to put people in front of you that don't have your best interest. But if you're strong enough to withstand that, if you're strong enough to resist that, you'll realize that all of that is trying to do is get you further away from Christ. You know, he doesn't love you. You know, what kind of God would allow you to fall on hard
mm-hmm.
times in your marriage? What kind of
mm-hmm.
God would allow you to, you know, to have your kids acting up in school? What kind of God would allow you to have troubles on your job and troubles in the church?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the place, you know, he tells you to go through. God, Satan can put all of that doubt and all of that misery and all of that anger
mm-hmm.
inside of you, but it's up to you to choose what you do with it. But if you've got Christ, in your life. If you've got a relationship with Christ, you know that through the midst of all of that, he's still with you. And if you're still alive now to talk about it, then evidently God has gotten you through it. And I know Sister Gregory said,
right,
and I pay attention to a lot of things. Pull on your past victories. I may be going through a storm now, but guess what? There was a time 5 years ago I didn't think I was going to be alive. I didn't think I was going to get through it. I was going through some things, and guess what? I got through. And then when you start reflecting and saying, hey, you know, how did I get through it? How was I able to do it? You know what? I still went to church. You know, I still called in on prayer service.
Right,
you know,
right.
I still called in on Bible study. I still opened up the Word of God and read while I did it. Then that's the formula. Why deviate from it? You got the answer right in front of you, but we choose to go elsewhere except to go through God. But I realize that God is never forsaking you. And if you start to get those feelings, which is natural, which is normal, don't ever be ashamed of how you feel. But when you feel that way, know what you need to do. Know where you need to go. Know who you need to call on. God gives us so many tools to utilize. But if you're not opening up the toolkit, if you're not opening up the case where you got all your tools in line, okay, I need this all for
right,
this,
man.
I got this for this, I got that. If you're not opening the case, you're not doing what you need to do, then what good is it? What good is it to have a project in front of you? You got a toolkit, but you're trying to do it by hand when you got the instructions and everything you need right here, but you're too lazy, you're too mad, you're too upset, you're too self-righteous, or for whatever reason, or you're listening to the wrong people. The tools ain't hard to find. We just got to utilize them, and a tool is only as good as the person that's willing it. You know what I'm saying? A tool does nothing by itself, but it's two parts to it. You have to utilize it. If you don't utilize it, it's just sitting there.
Right.
It's not doing anything. It serves no purpose. But I say all that to say that, you know, continue to strive and be about the will of God, because, you know, it's so many things that can happen where we go through adversity and we totally cut God off. But I've tried in my Christian walk to be more consistent with it. But as I get closer to Christ, I've learned that I need a smaller circle of friends, but I know God never forsakes me. But I know if I start to feel that way, I have put processes in place where I know that I won't stay in that place too long. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
When I become too wrapped up in what's going on in my life, then I know that I'm spending too much time on me and not enough on God. And one of the things that I've come to appreciate is to look back on my past experiences and see how God has made a way for me, and the things that he has done in my life, in my family life, in my church life, and just seeing how God has worked. And I knew it was only God that could have brought the changes and made the situation and made things for his glory. I knew it was only him that could have done it, because some things,
amen.
I mean, because man just didn't have the power to do it.
Amen.
And so
right.
God has allowed us to be able to have a memory if we would pull back on that memory and think about the goodness of the Lord. Think about what he has done for us in the past experiences. And then the other thing is to stay built up in that word and in prayer and keep a positive, try to keep a positive attitude and think positive about God.
Amen.
The devil don't want you to think, first of all, he wants you to think that God hates you. He don't even love you, you know. And when you can reflect back on the cross and you can think about what Jesus has done for you. And that's one thing, even though everybody forsake Jesus, the disciples forsook him and they fled and everything, Jesus knew that the Father was with him. He knew that if he didn't have anybody else, he had the Father.
All right, now.
And so he had that close enough personal relationship with him. No matter what, he knew the Father wasn't going to leave him. And this is what God wants us. He wants us to be so tight with him.
Amen.
Even when there is nobody, that we know that he is with us.
Come on, preacher.
And so when I begin to reflect on what God has done for me and the little things that he has done, how I have prayed and said, Lord, I need this. And how, you know, he has opened up that door.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not even been right away. It might have been a long time, but he still made a way.
Yeah.
He still met the need, you know. And I don't have to put it far off in space, but I can bring it as far as food and clothing and paying the bills,
yeah,
and, you know, healing the sick child and healing my body, you know, just seeing how God bring peace out of confusion, you know, and making a way out of nowhere, you know, when I just think about the personal things he done for me, you know, and just how the Holy Spirit has ministered to me when it was a time in my life where I went through depression when I was years ago, before I even went into the ministry, and God was, you know, beginning to know who God really was and how he wanted me to take my mind off of man and off the things of this world and put my mind on him. God got to allow us to go through some things in order to get us to focus on him and on his power and what he can do. And when I began to replenish and just began to say, Lord, I surrender to you because I can't handle this situation. It's out of my hands. And when I began to submit my life over to him, and then he began to show me, you thought you were saved then, but I'm going to show you what salvation is all about. Because it's not about you. It's about my glory and what I can do.
And so
I just pray and ask God to keep me humble and focused. I'm still making mistakes and still, you know, this journey is not an easy journey. And it's not going to be an easy journey. But if we just stay focused and just ask the Lord to be with us every day, pray for his peace, pray for his joy, and help somebody else along the way so we won't be so focused on ourselves, then we'll be okay because we have the victory.
Amen.
We have the victory. We just have to keep pressing toward that mark. But we have the victory. The victory is ours.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Next caller, last four digits, we're going to go to 3658. 3658, you on
air? Hello, how's everyone doing?
You doing good?
Doing well.
Good. Hi, Pastor. Hi, First Lady.
Hello.
Hello. God is so good. I realized that I didn't need anybody but God when he was the only one that was there for me. People can give you a lot of good lip service, you know, family, friends. They'll tell you they'll do this and they'll do that. I realized I didn't need anybody but God when I learned how to praise him all by myself, during the good times and the bad times, during circumstances and situations. I mean, I embraced the times that weren't that good because you got to get a little bad so you can really appreciate the good.
There you go.
Born from different places, you know, before I came and made new birth my home, I always knew the Lord. Now, I was raised in Christ, not just in the church, but I was raised with the old King James Bible. My mother taught me how to read Shakespeare, thee and thou, so I learned it. It was easy. And I realized no matter what, how we translate it, how we interpret it, God's word don't change. And just like you were saying, things have to be done so that the scripture shall be fulfilled. With you or without you, it's going to be fulfilled. I mean, when you have God, like you was talking about the spiritual warfares, you know they're coming. And when you know they're coming, you know what to do to prepare yourself. You know what your purpose is. You know what your position is. But more importantly, you know who your power is. When you can stand for God, you know, I used to think this was a long time ago. I thought at one point it was all about going to church every Sunday and just showing up. Not really being there, but just being there, if you understand what I'm saying. I thought it was about at one time how much tithes I give. Because I tell you quick, I don't serve a 10% God. So if I put a little bit more in there, maybe it made me feel a little bit better about the things that I was not doing that was according to God's word. I realized it's not about about a title, because, you know, man appoints but God anoints, and you have to know the difference between the two. When you're mm-hmm. with God and you have God, when God is with you, you don't have to worry. The songwriter said, I don't need nobody else. When you can go someplace that you've never been before and confess and testify, because it's all
yeah.
about him giving the glory. It's not about when you walk in the room, you telling people how many acronyms behind your name or what your subtitle is. It's about walking with God where you can walk everywhere, anywhere, and people can see that you truly are
right.
a child of the living God. I mean, just who else do we need but God? In fact, who else do we have but God? Because they will come, that mother and father will leave you. I don't care how good
mm-hmm.
your marriage is. If death came, can you fight them and take them back? So then you wake up one day and you realize, all I got is God. And then you
there
say,
you go.
My God, I am so powerful because I got everything, because I got God. So I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful to be under leadership of a man and a woman that know who God is, of people
mm-hmm.
who are the message that they bring. And I know sometimes you get tired when you look out and you get tired because you tell folks the same old thing and they keep doing the same old thing. But like you said, it's all about God. So it's good to be able to go into the house of the Lord knowing that as long as you're under that covering, knowing that when somebody tell you, I'm going to pray for you, you don't even have to worry because you know they can get a prayer through. I just thank
yeah.
God for each and everyone. I thank him for all of you, and I thank you for this Bible study. Amen.
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 Thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to the next caller. Next caller, last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This is a good, good, good topic because I learned years ago, and it's a long time, that the only thing I could depend on was God. And I never,
Amen.
Never, ever let anything or anybody try to separate me from knowing who he is to me and whose he is. Because I've seen my friends, I've seen family members, I've seen neighbors. They call
mm-hmm.
on everybody but the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a dear friend of mine on her deathbed worrying about her pastor not coming to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Her pastor. Mm-hmm. Her pastor. And she went to church and God has equipped her to know who her real pastor is.
All right, man.
All right, man.
And that is he, and only he with the big capital G.
Mm-hmm.
Not the little G, but the big G. I found out what the big G and the little G was all about, too.
Uh-huh.
It is something that you, Pastor Gregory, Pastor Kason, Evangelist Gregory, are doing for us right now. God's word doesn't change.
No.
We're being taught every time we get on this line who
yeah.
to be, depend on. And you all are equipping us to do the same thing, to pass on what you all are doing for us, to pass on to for somebody else. And every opportunity that I get to do it, I will tell anybody and everybody,
mm-hmm.
God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't ever think. In his word, he said he would never leave you, nor
never.
Forsake.
Never.
Never.
Hey.
He's with you regardless to what the situation is. And I learned that at an early age, and it has protected me. And when my husband gets
yeah.
acting a fool up in here, you know what I tell him? I look at him and say, God loves me, boy.
Amen.
That kind of love you're projecting right now, I don't need.
Right.
Right.
God loves me. If you say God loves you, you watch the devil flee. You watch
yeah.
him flee from you. It's no doubt in my mind, and this is the thing that you have to put first and foremost. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Who is the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Call on him.
Mm-hmm.
Call on him. I saw an incident happen to me in Atlanta, Georgia, in Publix supermarket. White lady had a little girl standing up in the cart where the child should have been seated.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie said, Mama, and before she could say Mama, the baby was turning upside down, going down on his head. And I hollered so loud in that church, in that Publix, Jesus!
Mm-hmm.
And she and I grabbed that baby at the same time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Who else to call on but him?
Amen.
Yeah.
You know that as a Christian, and why are you playing games with it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then.
Don't doubt him. You can't doubt him.
Bad.
You think of all the good things that he's done for you year in and year out in the Bible, never changes, and we come to church and we do this. Why are we doing this? To praise him, to let him know that he is ours and we are his. All the time, not one time, every time.
Amen.
Love is never having to say, I'm sorry. And I haven't heard him say in this book not one time he's sorry. Because he wrote it in a way that we should never doubt him. Always remember who he is. Put him first.
Mm-hmm.
Put him first, and the separation is never going to happen.
Amen.
It's never going to happen. And he's my father. He's my everything. He is my everything. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I will tell anybody, I don't care where I am, who they are, or what they are. Step in the way in front of me, talking about some crazy mess about my Heavenly Father. Like my girlfriend said, I'm going to a Christian comedy. You want to go with me? No.
Nope.
I said, the day a comic comes up in Heart of God Baptist Church, I won't be there. Because it's nothing funny about God's Word.
Right.
I don't care how you put it. You're separating yourself right there from his word to the world. They think it's funny. That's not funny. When people are dying, going to hell,
you're
here making fun of his word or the people or the choir or the pastor or the deacon or the trustees. That's not funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing spiritual about that to me. And people do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
God is not pleased with it. And that's why when you call on him sometimes, he doesn't hear us.
Amen.
He doesn't hear us. He's putting it in the wrong perspective. God is for real in my life. All the time. I'm going through a bunch of stuff in this house right now. But I've never let it come before. This evening, I was late getting on the line. I broke my neck getting up these steps. I broke my neck getting up these steps. Because I know when I lay down here, if he calls me home tonight, I'm going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm trying to make heaven my home. And the only way I'm going to get there is to be have him in my bosom and he and me and his.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not hard to do if you love the Lord.
Amen.
Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Don't let anybody separate you from God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Don't make excuses. I will try not to ever make an excuse why I didn't do something for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And hope that everybody on this line, I know most of them personally. We're not just coming on this line just to be talking or having a conversation. It's mm-hmm. all about God and how we can take what you all give us and take it to someone else. And it's called outreach.
Amen.
Amen.
Prayer service, intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. It's never breaking the link, never breaking the chain away from him. Not ever. No doubts. No conjunctions, no ifs, buts, and ands about it.
Hmm.
It's all about him. And your life is no longer yours. It's his.
Amen.
It's his. I thank you all, and I can't thank you enough, because when I'm at my lowest, when I come on this phone line, I'm mm-hmm. pumped up now.
Amen. All right,
then. I know he got me. I know
Amen.
He got this house. I know he got that fence out there. And I know he got this roof up here.
Amen.
It's going to be fixed.
Amen.
Amen.
I thank you all. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And I thank you, God, for giving us you all.
Bless
you. Your heart.
God bless.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to ask Dr. G. Final comments. You want to close out in prayer?
Well, you know, all the comments were great. I think the last caller, she hit on it, and I've even preached a sermon on it that, you know, when God becomes real to individuals, then we will do the things that we need to do to grow in the body of the Lord and not just take the Lord for granted. You know,
mm-hmm.
we call on him when folk get sick or there's a stroke or
mm-hmm.
get sick or something. But as long as things are going well, you know, it's like we don't need them. We will take
mm-hmm.
them off the shelf. Just like with the Bible. You know, a lot of folks don't open their Bibles until they go to church.
Right.
But when right. God really becomes real to individuals in this world, then that's when God can really work. And until that time,
Amen.
You know, have to continue to preach and teach, and it does. It becomes laborious sometimes, and you wonder if we really are making a difference in people's lives. So I do
mm-hmm.
thank all the callers that did call in, and we pray that we will continue on teaching the word, because, as they say, without the taught word, without a preacher, how will they hear?
Mm-hmm.
So with that,
mm-hmm.
we're going to ask everyone to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for just another evening, Lord, in your word. We thank you for these that have called in. And Lord, we pray that what we've taught will be taken and applied to their lives. Father, we're praying now that others will get in a hurry to get on
yeah.
the line, to get on the prayer line. Lord, that they will get in a hurry to draw closer to you. Father, we thank you for everything that you do. And Lord, we pray
mm-hmm.
that we won't be like the disciples and flee you. Father, we ask now that you'll be with us the rest of the week. And whatever your will is, O God, we pray
mm-hmm.
that it will be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.